Let us pray. Father God, thank you for your living word, your word which transforms lives, your word which guides and shapes us. As we explore a difficult episode in Elijah's life this morning, may you speak to each one of us. May we be encouraged that you are always with us, and that ultimately you are in control. Even when sometimes we feel that situations are without hope. Amen. Have you ever given something your all? Put in 110%? Tried everything to achieve a goal or ambition? Thought you had got there, but ultimately felt that you got nowhere? Personally, I call them M25 moments. Well, imagine the scene. You are Elijah. You have just been standing on Mount Carmel. You and God standing up against 450 prophets of Baal. You have challenged them to prepare two bulls for offering. You challenged them to call on their gods to send down fire to consume the offering. No answer. You do the same, but you are so confident. You ask them to pour 12 large jars of water over it, the water filling up the ditches around the sacrifice. Then you call God, who sends fire, which consumes the offering, the stones, the soil, the water in the trench. The people fall down to worship God. You instruct them to seize the prophets of Baal, who are then dealt with permanently. In fact, you're so empowered by God that on foot you even outrun King Ahab riding in his chariot. Elijah must have been on such a spiritual high at this point. This makes today's reading, which happens very soon, perhaps simply hours after this spiritual victory, particularly thought-provoking. What happened? Over the past few weeks, we've been exploring the life of Elijah and how God had used him as a prophet and worked wonders through him. Can you recall a time in your life when you were at a real low? Perhaps you were feeling that as if you were standing at the bottom of a valley. Did someone try to encourage you with words that, well, you may be at a low point, but just think the only way is up? Well, let's turn that on its head. If the only way is up when you're at your lowest point, what happens when you're at your highest point? When Elijah was at this high point, what caused him to suddenly dive into despair and depression? Did he feel that he'd given it his all and had got nowhere? Or was he spiritually exhausted? It's often at the high points in our lives when we are the most vulnerable, when we're standing on the summit. But perhaps it's wrong to think of it as a summit. Perhaps we should be thinking of a high plateau and thinking about, actually, how can we stay there? Today we see a different side to Elijah, a very vulnerable human side, a fallible side. That's the great thing about the Bible. It recounts these heroes, but it also reveals their human weaknesses. It is that human weakness that helps us to in part relate to them. It is, more importantly, through these human weaknesses that enable us to see that their work, that their ministries are down to a far greater power, the power of God. We all have our off days. You know, the times when nothing seems to be going right. The time when we wish we hadn't bothered getting out of bed. Usually a Monday morning for me. Well, Elijah has definitely not been in a good place in our story today. Our reading begins with these verses. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah. May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them. Elijah must have been having an M25 moment. He must have been asking, what has been achieved? What ground has been made? Have the people really turned back to God? And it's now also very personal. The threat is against him. physically, spiritually exhausted, Elijah enters a state of depression and he runs for his life. And it's important here to emphasise that actually depression covers a wide range of symptoms and causes and cures. So we cannot say that someone suffering from depression is in the same boat as Elijah. Elijah is physically, mentally, spiritually exhausted. He needs replenishment. He needs rest. Through his act of creation, God rested. God emphasized the importance of rest. The seventh day, the Sabbath, throughout the Bible. We all need rest. In his exhaustion, has Elijah in some small part moved away from God, become self-sufficient rather than God-dependent? Our reading continues. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went on a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. Elijah appears to have been terrified by Jezebel's threat. He flees to the desert to the south of Beersheba. He wasn't just outside the boundaries of Israel. He was outside the southern boundaries of Judah too. He wanted to be as far away from Jezebel and that threat as possible. What a transformation from the man who had called down fire earlier. Elijah was in such a state of depression that he left his servant and went off. He had no intention of travelling any further than he did, as he had no provisions. He stopped and prayed to God that he might die. Have you ever felt like that? Given something your all, but have felt inadequate or useless? When something you have dedicated your life to seems worthless? Well, Elijah definitely felt as if everything was hopeless. He just wanted God to finish it. But this is the human side of Elijah speaking. He's exhausted. He can't see the wood from the trees. He is completely looking in on himself. He may want God to finish it, but God wasn't finished with Elijah. Our reading continues. All at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank, and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he travelled 40 days and nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into the cave and spent the night. After walking for 40 days and nights, Elijah reached Mount Horeb, God's holy mountain. Look at the transformation already. Elijah is once again relying on God's provision. It is God who is strengthening Elijah physically for the next step on his journey. Look, Elijah is able to travel 40 days and nights until he reaches Mount Horeb. We're beginning to see the God-empowered side of Elijah once more. Mount Horeb was the place where God had commissioned Moses, the place where God appeared in the pillar of smoke, through fire and thunder, the place where the Israelites received the Ten Commandments. It was a significant and holy place. While God has strengthened Elijah for the physical journey, Elijah's spiritual mindset hasn't changed. What a contrast we have. We have on Mount Carmel, Elijah, the great spiritual leader, his faith and faithfulness to God saving the Israelites. Now, on Mount Horeb, we see him weak, fallible, broken, and needing God. God asks Elijah a question. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" God is challenging Elijah as to why he's standing there. although God had provided him with the food to make the journey to strengthen him. It is clear that Elijah should not have been there in the first place. Perhaps God's question is hiding a deeper question. What has happened to your faith, Elijah? Elijah replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. Is Elijah feeling sorry for himself? Elijah is certainly dismissing God's victory over Baal by implying that it meant nothing at all, that it was a worthless act. Elijah is also dismissing those who were remaining faithful to God, stating that all had rejected God's covenant. I believe that at this point, Elijah feels that he alone was God's plan and that he had failed. And this is the important part. None of us by ourselves is God's plan. We're all part of God's plan. Although the part we play may not always go right in our eyes, God is still at work. Elijah had forgotten about Obadiah and the 100 prophets who were hidden in the caves by Obadiah. Elijah felt that all hope rested in him and that he had failed. Elijah was quick to identify the weaknesses in others, but had failed to identify his own weaknesses. After all, he himself had hidden in the cave for 3 years, and now in his own weakness had run away. As I said a few moments ago, Elijah was in a position whereby he couldn't see the wood from the trees. He needed to receive a reality check from God. Verse 11. The Lord said, Go and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. The first 3 signs illustrated the physical power of God. The wind tearing the mountains apart and shattering the rocks. The earthquake, the fire. But although powerful, God was not in them. A gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went and stood at the entrance of the cave. God spoke through a whisper. And Elijah immediately recognized God and covered his face from his holiness. God is still in control. It's not about the power that God physically displays. It's about that unlimited potential, that awesomeness that God can do anything. Don't underestimate God. That's what Elijah had lost sight of. Sometimes we expect God to move in mighty, powerful ways. But are we listening in the silence for that gentle whisper? God does not always work in ways that are visible and dramatic, but he is always working. God repeated his question to Elijah. What are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah's reply was the same as before. Had he learnt anything from his encounter with God? God gave instructions to Elijah to anoint 3 people to carry on the work of purifying Israel. God is at this point saying to Elijah, It's not all about you. My plans are bigger than you. In the prime of his ministry, Elijah dismissed everyone else's faith. He claimed he was the only one loyal to God and followed his instructions. Elijah didn't appreciate the size of God's plan. Our passage this morning concludes with these words. God says, Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him. God has a big plan. Just want to sum up the main points very briefly. First thing is, we're all human. We all need to listen to God for his advice and his guidance. We need to make sure that we take times of rest. We're all a part of God's plan. We are small, but significant. God's plans are bigger than each one of us. But I think the most important point can be summed up through our Bible verse for 2016. Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Let's pray. Father God, thank you for all those who help us on our journey with you. For the Elijahs, but also for those who advised and guided us as we walk with you. Help us do the same to the people we meet day by day, that they too may come into a greater relationship with you. May we take time to rest physically, mentally, and spiritually. At times, resting in your presence, reading, reflecting, praying. Most of all, may we always remain in you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.